It's our theme verse for this series, 2 Corinthians 9, 7. By now you should have highlighted or underlined it or something, so when you get there, boom, jumps off the page at you. And we've been talking about the joy of giving. And the first week we saw that there's joy when you give like your Father gives. Amen? We know that when the Lord gave his only Son, all of heaven rejoiced. And then last week we heard about that there's even joy for those who hear the gift. They're longer phrases this time. So even people that hear about something that was received or a gift that you gave, the joy of that just keeps going and going, and oftentimes it inspires other people to also give. And today we're going to talk about there's something about joyful giving that moves us. And let's start with our main verse. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, it says, "So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." And the first part of this verse, what I want to focus on today, it says, "So let each one give as he purposes in his heart." How many people know that that's the part of the body that we most often associate when we talk about being moved by the Lord? Right? We felt it in our heart that we were supposed to give. There was that feeling inside us that we knew we were supposed to bless someone, or we were supposed to give a gift. And oftentimes, for my own life, I found that feeling will come. A lot of times it'll be at a grocery store, and you're like, "Oh, Lord, really? Are you sure about this? Are you sure?" And you go back and forth, and you go down another aisle, but that feeling is still there. It moves you to do something about it. Amen? And I've shared the story about there was a lady in Safeway, and I felt like I was supposed to bless her with something, and she disappeared. I mean, like, literally disappeared on me. By the time I was like, "Okay, I got to do this," I'm going down every aisle at Safeway trying to find her. She's not there, and I got to our Safeway where our Starbucks is, and I glanced out, and I saw her walking to her car. So I'm like leaving my cart, and I'm running out. I'm thinking, you could almost hear the Lord giggling, saying, you'd have saved you so much energy if you just had done it when I first told you, right? But I was so moved to go find her that it literally moved me to go do it. Amen? There was another time where I was shopping at Winco, and there are these... There's always these four Jehovah Witness young men that are always shopping at the same time as I am. It's uncanny that we always shop at the same time. And toward the morning, afternoon, and one day we were there, and I've just always wanted to bless them with something. And I was there toward the afternoon, and I happened to be by them when we were kind of crossing in an aisle, and I heard one of the young men say, "Doesn't pizza sound good today?" And the other one stood back and said, "That's not really in our budget today. Let's just stick with the budget, right?" And so instantly in my heart, I was like, "Ha, I found it." Well, that meant I had to get out before they did. That meant I had to bag all my stuff before they did. That meant I had to get to the pizza place before they did and catch them before they left, right? Well, they were ahead of me, obviously. My grocery load is a lot less. I think, was Luke or Lane, were you with me? Lane was with me that day. So I left him with the cart, and I'm like, "I gotta go." "Okay, Mom." I'm like, "Just go to the car, I'll meet you there." So I had to run out to the parking lot to find them and track them down. But when you have it in your heart to give, when someone has purpose in their heart to give, it moves you to give. Amen? Apologize, these masks do funny things to my throat. Okay, now we're gonna flip back to Matthew 2. And we're going to see what happens when you've purposed something in your heart and you're moved to do it. Verse 1, it says this. "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said unto him, thank you, honey, just this. So they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for it is written, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star had appeared. Now I want you to hold that verse, and then I want you to skip down to verse 16. And it says this, we're going to find out what the time was. Then Herod, when he saw that the wise men he had been deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all of its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which had been determined by the wise men. How many years? Two. 2 years. Now remember that. And he sent them to, verse 8, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also. And we know that wasn't his intent from verse 16. And when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them until it came and stood over where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child. So again, there's another fact. This isn't an infant child. This is a young child with Mary his mother. And they fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasuries, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, when the Lord has moved me to do something, it generally has been within a time frame that is short. But these men were so moved by what they had purposed in their hearts to do that their journey was a 2-year journey to get to where they're going. And how many people know that when you are on a journey, you're super excited to start with, right? And then the wear and the tear of, you know, it's getting longer and longer if you got kids with you, it's bathroom stops, and are we there yet? You know, we know from history that kings or wise men of this kind traveled in a caravan. So they're on camels. We're talking, this is a journey, right? But something had been birthed in their hearts so profoundly about this Messiah that was to come. And we know that these men, generally, the wise men, when you refer to them, they generally came from the Medes and the Persians. And who lived with the Medes and the Persians? It was Daniel. So Daniel was there, and we often see the Bible in chunks. You know, we don't often relate to what it could be, how it can be connected. But it just inspired me this week that one man being sent to Babylon with the Medes and the Persians kingdom, bringing with him his passion of the word, the love of the Lord, and his desire to see the promised Messiah, was so ingrained in him and so much joy in him that it spread. And it carried on generation after generation in these wise men. They were all looking. When you're looking for something, it means you've been told it's going to come, right? And we completely can see that with the people of Israel because this is their promised Messiah. But these are wise men from a completely different part of the country. What would they care? Because one man put inside them a dream. There is a Savior that's coming that will radically change this world. So they were watching for him. They were watching for the sign of the star. And when they saw that star, oh, their hearts were elated. They couldn't wait. They were moved. And again, you look back and when you connect the dots, God always provides for his people, especially his sons and daughters. Amen? And we see here what started with Daniel. Think about this. Daniel putting in them, ingraining in the people in his area, the wise men that he worked with, the passion for this child that was to come. They were so moved, that they had to give him their gifts. They had to come and worship him with their treasuries. So years later, it gets moved on down, and we see that they see the star. They have to go. They have to go. It so moves them, they're willing to make a 2-year journey, maybe even longer than 2 years, that time frame. They have to go. They have to go see this child. And they come and they present him with their gifts. Those gifts provided for that son to be able to do all the ministry he needed to do. Sometimes you think, well, it's just something little. But when you're moved by the Lord to do something, never see it as little. You're touching a life on the other end that could change the world. That could change the world. And if it doesn't change the world, it will change their world. Because they'll look at it and say, because whenever I give, I always say, Lord bless you. God loves you, you know? He just wanted you to know he was thinking of you today and bless you. And almost every single time, what is the response? Tears. Why? Because it moved them. Your desire to give the gift doesn't just stop with you. There's a Holy Spirit thing that's moving along. Amen? And so just as we see with the wise men, that their gift moved them, our gift should move us. When the Lord puts something on your heart to do, respond quicker than I do normally. Just, okay, yes, sir. Yes, Lord. Amen? But if you miss it like I've done sometimes, then don't let that movement stop you. Go find that person and give to them what you're supposed to give them. Amen? Because it's all about our obedience. And it's doing what we've purposed in our hearts to do. And our hearts receive their messages from our Father. I've had people often say, well, what if your giving is wrong? And I wanted to ask him this. Well, when was the last time the devil told you to give somebody something? I mean, let's be real. He doesn't normally go around telling you to bless people. Amen? So if you get that nudge on your heart, then almost 100% that is from the Lord, and act on it. Amen? And if it's not, he sees the attitude and the heart behind it, and he'll bless it anyway. Amen? Amen. Grab your tithes and offerings. Father, we just thank you so much for this word, the joy of giving. And Lord, we want to be your kids. We want to be like you. And we want to have bring joy to people when we give. We want people to hear of the gifts that you've allowed us to bless and let that blessing keep going and going and going. And Father, we want to be like the wise men. And we want to be so moved, Father, that we aren't going to stop until we do what you've called us to do. And in giving our gift, Father, who knows that we don't provide for the next person that will change this world, or at least change their world. And we just pray, Father, today that you would touch each one of us. In this next year, Father, I just pray that there would be so many times, Father, that you would move on our hearts, that you would teach us and train us in the little things. So when it comes time, Father, because I believe it will, because we're a blessed people, that it'll be cars and houses and, like Steve was saying, the money for airplanes, for ministries. Father, that it won't even be a question in our mind because we'll so have learned your voice about buying someone's coffee or buying someone's groceries or providing for someone's bill. Whatever it is, Father, we'll have learned in the little things, so when the big things come, we'll know your voice. And that's what I pray, Father, in this next year is going to be a year of listening and obeying and moving with the joy of giving. We just praise you, Father, for touching every seed that is sown today. Anoint every person, Lord. May their harvest be 100-fold so they can continue to give to every good work. And everyone said, amen.
Thank you for that beautiful message, Pastor Shelley. Hallelujah. I think we can click to our next slide there. Praise God. Let's pray over this message today. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory for it in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen. Amen and amen. And I appreciate, the decorating and so forth in this place and the candy canes on the table. You might have heard the story about the candy cane. I just feel impressed to remind us of that. At least the story I've heard about the candy cane is the candy maker that lived in an oppressive political environment, and he just wanted to encourage people. He wanted to encourage children to have faith and believe, right? And so he created this candy confection. And he made it in the shape of a J, which reminds people of Jesus. And if you turn it over, it's in the shape of a shepherd's hook that reminds us that he guides us and leads us through our lives. And the red stripes remind us that by the blood of Jesus, we are forgiven of sins. Amen. And the white reminds us that by faith in Jesus, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and your sins are washed away. Amen. Isn't that cool? So that's just a great thing to remember, even about the candy cane. Amen. And plus, they're delicious. Maybe my fresh breath has something to do with the candy cane too. Amen. So hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Well, we're continuing our message entitled From Gloom to Glory today. Amen. And our foundation text continues to be Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. And it says this in the Amplified Classic. As I have therefore received Christ. Could somebody bump up our lights just a little bit? It's a little bit dim in here for reading notes, I think. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Shelley. Just a little brighter. Hallelujah. How many know sometimes Jesus helps us to shine just a little brighter? Amen. But Colossians 2, 6 and 7 in the Amplified Classic. As I have therefore received Christ, even Jesus the Lord, so I walk, regulate my life, and conduct myself in union with and conformity to Him. Somebody say, in union with Jesus. Amen. That's important. Amen. As we receive Jesus as Lord of our lives, we are walking in union with Him every day. We get saved once, right? The marriage is a good example of this. I get married once, but our union is for life. Amen? And with Jesus, we get born again, and then we walk with Him every day. Amen? That's the general idea of the Christian faith, right? It's a relationship with God that the world doesn't understand. Amen? And so we walk in union with and conformity to Him. How do I do that? Well, we go to church, we read our Bibles, we worship God, we obey God, we give, we sow, we reap. Amen. We develop an ear to hear the voice of God. We don't hear God's voice audibly. I've heard some people say they have, but normally God speaks even closer. If I hear someone audibly, that means they're on the outside of me, right? But God speaks on the inside of me. This shows you the kind of union He's looking for. Amen? And if I train my ear, my spiritual ear, to hear Him, how do I do that? By reading His Word. By hearing His Word preached. Amen? By praising and worshiping God. Then when He speaks to me, I'll recognize His voice. Amen? And that's walking in union and conformity to Him. And then it says, I have the roots of my being firmly and deeply planted in Him, which would indicate what? It's possible to live a life shallowly with Jesus, right? It's possible to live a life not firmly planted in Christ. Somebody say, not me. Not me, amen? Because when the winds blow as they do, last night in our house, man, the wind was blowing. Probably your house too. And when the wind blows, you know, the boys put our Christmas lights up this year, and they do not move. And we live in wind country out there in Washougal, right? Well, that's how our faith should be. When the wind blows, we don't move. We don't drift away from Jesus because the boogeyman is boo. Right? No, we stay firmly rooted and planted in our faith in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Firmly and deeply planted in Him, no matter what. Somebody say, no matter what. We can't just move on from that quite yet. Somebody say, no matter what. I stick. Why? Because I am firmly and deeply planted in Him. Yeah, but what about this? What about that? What about this and that and the other thing? Just say, you come too late for me, right? I am too firmly and too deeply planted in Jesus to just be moved away by what so-and-so thinks or so-and-so says or a symptom in my body or, you know, what my bank account says today or what the news is saying today. Amen? I am firmly and deeply planted in Him. Let's say that out loud. I am firmly and deeply planted in Him. Glory to God. Amen. Fixed and founded in Him, being continually built up in Him. Amen. That's what this Hanukkah season reminds us of, is that the lamp burnt continually right through the issues. And that's the kind of faith Jesus is looking for. People that won't stop, won't quit because it looks rough, right? The Hanukkah miracle. This is a season to remind us to be believing God for this thing called miracles. If there were no such thing as miracles, right? Miracles are not make-believe stuff, right? Miracles are not hocus-pocus. Somewhere along the line, people took Christmas and made it, a lot, not everybody, but a lot of people, more about magic than about miracles. Amen? Somebody say, we have a God of miracles. Praise the Lord. Being continually built up in Him, increasingly more confirmed and established in the faith. Somebody might say, you know, you're too saved. All you think about is all you're doing, reading your Bible, talking Jesus, living for Jesus. You need to get out there and have some fun. Amen. Well, sin is fun for a season, and then it kills you. And here's a flash for the world. Serving Jesus is not dull. Serving Jesus is the greatest adventure in the history of all adventures. Amen. There's one guy on the Victory Network. He just sits out there at his ranch and teaches us the Bible. I don't remember the brother's name. Do you remember Luke? Burton. I'm sorry. Thank you. Brother Butch Burton on the Victory Network. And he sits there. And he's a pastor out. He's got a... I think his church meets at the ranch. And he just teaches from his Bible. He sits there and you see his, you know, the field behind him. And it's just beautiful. It's like, man, I want to go see Brother Butch. But at the end of his broadcast, he closes with this statement. If you're not having fun serving Jesus, you're doing it wrong. I love it. Amen. It's the truth. Yeah, sin is fun, but you get sick, you get diseases, you get depressed, you get broken relationships. Amen. There's a price to it. There's a price to sin. There's a cost. I've heard ministers say it this way. The devil will always keep you longer than you planned on staying, take you further than you planned on going. Amen. And it is a trap. Right? So we avoid that stuff. We just shake it off. Nah, that ain't it for me. I'm born again. You're too born again. You need to get out there and, you know, have a drink. Go to the bar. Man, how do you minister to people at the bar if you ain't at the bar? Somebody say, no, thank you. I've been redeemed from the bar. Bars are too dark. I'm here to bring the light. I like places that are light. Amen? Glory to God. And if you think I'm too saved today, brother, because a lot of these people are Christians that'll tell you this stuff, right? If you think I'm too saved today, brother, just wait till tomorrow. Amen. Because if you haven't noticed, the devil is amping it up. Tightening his hold, right? You know why he's tightening his hold? Because he's about to lose it. And that's the truth. Glory to God. I'm talking about this week in this country. Hallelujah. Just as I was taught in abounding and overflowing in it, in what? In my union with Jesus, right? Abounding and overflowing in it with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Have your time with Jesus every day. Amen? We cannot neglect our time alone with God every single day. And then fellowship with him throughout the day. I think it was Smith Wigglesworth that said, somebody asked him, how much time do you spend in prayer every day? About 15 minutes or so. But I never go 15 minutes without praying. Amen. Jesse, I've heard Jesse the Planet say the same type of thing, right? My communion with Jesus is ongoing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, Isaiah chapter 9 is where we're hanging out this week. So I want to read to you the first 8 or 9 verses again. And the Lord's got something for us. And I know God's got something for us because I don't normally do this, but this message took me 3 attempts to get it. And usually it's just bang, there it is. Well, yesterday I sat down to the notes, says, oh, there it is, there it is. And then it's like something just didn't sit right. No, went back, did it again. Oh, there it is. There it is. Then the family and I, we went to the mall, Clackamas, and walked around, and I started thinking about it. It's like, still isn't it? Still isn't it? Doesn't mean it's wrong. Just wasn't hitting it. And the Lord showed me while I was at the mall. It's like, that's what I want you to say. Amen. So this is not the third draft. This is the first draft. The word. Amen. But our chapter remains the same. Isaiah 9, and it says this. Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed. You know God is anti-gloom, right? As when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward the more heavily oppressed her, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, the Galilee, the Gentiles. Verse 2, and this is prophetic about Jesus, right? About 700 years before the birth of Jesus. Verse 2 says this, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. Somebody say a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. Verse 5. For every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel of fire. Verse 6. Here we go. For unto us, somebody say, unto me, a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Man, it is impossible, not even doable, not even remotely possible to have peace without the Prince of Peace. Prince means originator. You can't have peace without Jesus, amen? The Jesus of the Bible we're talking about, right? Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Somebody say, glory to God. Right? Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. Hallelujah. Man, those words mean a lot more in 2020 than amen. Somebody say, God's judgment. Amen. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Somebody say, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Amen. And last week we talked about, and we read that verse in Amplified, verse 1. It's in your notes there. But in the midst of judgment, verse 1 in the Amplified, there is the promise and the certainty of the Lord's deliverance. And there will be no gloom. Somebody say, no gloom. For her who is in anguish. In the former time, the Lord brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he will make it glorious. Somebody say, he's going to make it glorious. Right? By the way of the Sea of Galilee and the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. And gloom again is defined. We spent a lot of time last week talking about the gloom. Today, we're going to talk about the glory. Somebody say, glory! Woohoo! Thank you, Everly. But gloom again means it's important that we know what the gloom is so we can recognize it. Amen? Like in pest control, I need to recognize if that's a raccoon or if that's a squirrel or if that's a rat or if that's a mouse. Big difference. Amen? Right? So gloom means dimness, covered, dark, distressed, weary, total or partial darkness, a state of melancholy or depression, low spirits. Sound familiar to anybody, right? Amen. That's a big part of this year. A lot of people are dealing with this gloomy kind of outlook, right? But specifically, we want to look at the word darkness. Amen. How many know the devil is the prince of darkness? Amen. Covering things and hiding things and lying, stealing, killing, and destroying. Depression, low spirits. How many know church ought not be a gloomy place? Here, I'll show you my face. Somebody say, no gloom, right? And here's our big statement again, right out of that verse, verse 1 of the Amplified. Say this with me. There shall be no gloom. He will make it glorious. Amen. Praise God. God does not want his family gloomy. Amen. If the world is going to be attracted to Jesus, we need to be people that look different. Amen. Praise God. We shake off the gloom of the world, and we welcome the glory of God. Hallelujah. And I'm looking for miracles that are embarrassing miracles. I mean, they just knock you off your feet like, whoa, wow, that's almost embarrassing that God loves us so much that he would do that. Amen. Glory to God. And then people say, why you? What is it with you? You say, it's Jesus. And he's here for you too. Amen? And they might say, well, man, I go to church, you know, when it's open. I go to church. I've been to church before. Well, yeah, but you need to get to know him. Amen? Praise God. Well, we want to look at verse 2 today for the next few minutes. In the Amplified Classic again, it says this. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. And in the Amplified, that word light is capitalized, which would indicate it's talking about who? Jesus, right? The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Amen? Those who dwelt in the land of intense darkness and the shadow of death, right? Upon them, the light has shined. Praise God forevermore. Amen. Praise God for the light of Jesus shining on the world out there, showing them the way. And this is where, this is the point where I had to come back a couple times to this message. Because I felt really drawn to the word light. Amen. And light means illumination. This is right out of the concordance. It means bright, clear, happiness, amen, morning, sun, break of day. One of my favorite times of the day is the break of day, amen, watching the sunrise, set on fire. I love that. Shine. It means luminous, which means radiating. I had to look that word up. Luminous, what's that mean? Radiating or reflecting light. Amen. It means make manifest. Sounds like a miracle, doesn't it? Right? And it means glorious. Somebody say glorious. Hallelujah. So in my preparations this yesterday over this, I was thinking about drawing to the, let's just preach on the light, right? Hallelujah. And I was like, got all, everything lined up. I was like, yeah, just stay. I'm not feeling it, you know? It's like, okay, well, let's talk about everywhere that the glory manifested in the Christmas story. I had all lined up. It's like, I just ain't feeling it. Not feeling it. Well, here's the big thing God wants us to know today. Okay? Here it is. You remember in math, because I didn't get super, super, super far in math, but I got this concept. Greater than, less than. Remember that? You put the little sideways V, and I think I was taught it's like a little alligator, and the alligator is eating the thing if it's less than, you know what I'm talking about? If it's less than it, right? Well, here's the concept the Holy Ghost wants us to get today. The glory is greater than the gloom. Because the gloom, right now, I'm talking about 1240, whatever it is, 1140 on December the 13th. The gloom is bragging about itself right now in the U.S. and all over the world that there's nothing bigger than the gloom. And look out for the gloom because it's only going to get gloomier. It's only going to get darker. It's only going to get uglier and scarier and awfuler and awfuler. And people are buying it by the droves. And it is a big fat lie. I'm still smiling when I said that. Amen. Somebody say, the glory is greater than the gloom. I'll show you some scriptures. Well, Pastor Steve, could you show us some scriptures? Could you give us some scriptural support? Okay, I will. Let's start with Genesis chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Then God said, let there be light. So right there shows us that God didn't say, let there be gloom. He said, let there be glory. Hallelujah, right? And there was light, it says. Verses 3 and 4. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. So you see, the darkness has got no place. Somebody say no place in the light. And the light's got no place in the darkness. But many would say, oh, but wait a second now. Wait a second. It's 2021 almost here. You can live in the darkness and in the light. Oh, don't be a hater. Don't be so narrow-minded. I love how Keith Moore says it. Yeah, we're narrow-minded and saved. Amen. Somebody say, I'm on the light side of things. Amen. And right now, honestly, I feel the Holy Ghost saying, that just reminds me it's time to lighten up. Right? His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Somebody say, the light is greater than the darkness. The glory is greater than the gloom. No matter what the gloom says about itself, I'm just going to engulf you in gloom. You have no future. You have no hope. Your nation is going to die. You might get the, I like how they say, the virus. What about the glory? I'm preaching to the church, right? Hallelujah. Somebody say, the glory is greater than the gloom. Amen. Of his government, there will be no end. Oh, we got to move on. Let's look at Ecclesiastes, one of the smartest men to live in the history of the world, Solomon. This is Solomon, right? Ecclesiastes, Pastor Shelley? Yeah. He was smart, I guess, to a point. I don't know, 700 wives or whatever, that probably wasn't smart. Ask any man, he can tell you, one wife is enough if you're doing it right. One birthday, one anniversary, right? Be home on time, all those things. Can you imagine 700 anniversaries, 700 birthdays, how many children, how many mother-in-laws? I'm blessed with a wonderful mother-in-law. So he was a smart guy, right? But he made some mistakes, obviously, at the end of his life. But listen to this. When something makes it into the Bible, how many know God didn't use perfect people to write the Bible, right? But the Holy Ghost takes things and he says, this is going to be in the Bible and this is going to be in the Bible. And I can't use it like many would and say, yeah, but that was Solomon. And since he had 700 wives, I can have 700 people in my... No, 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 no. Somebody say, that's just gloomy. The glory drives out the gloom. The glory will take any excuse I could create to have sin in my life and just shine the light on it and say, no, that's not okay. I don't care what happened in their life. That's not to show me that that's okay for me. That's to show me that could kill me. So avoid it. Amen, right? Well, I love this verse in Ecclesiastes 2:13. It says this. Then I saw that wisdom excels folly, and light, or as light excels darkness. Somebody say, light excels darkness. Or we could say, glory excels gloom. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, Pastor Steve, yeah, I know that's the Bible, but you see, I don't really believe the Bible. Well, how many know whether or not you believe it? If I go and step off the edge of a cliff, well, I don't believe in gravity. I'm just going to go, well, you're about to experience the law of gravity. Amen? Whether I believe it or not. The Bible is true, whether one says they believe it or not. Amen? And this nation was founded on the Word of God, on faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe in the name of Jesus, we're going to stay that way. Amen? If you haven't noticed, for the past few decades especially, there's been two nations living in this one. Two completely different belief systems. Walking as close together as we can. Well, guess what? This week, I'm talking about this week, there is a reckoning. There is a reckoning from heaven. This week, where God is going to remind the whole world whose nation this is. And that's not to gloat it over anybody, but to just shine the light. Somebody say, shine the light. The glory is going to engulf the gloom. And many will rejoice, and many will throw a fit. Amen? Big difference between Christians and others. Christians, when they protest, they do it peacefully. Others throw bricks and bottles and burn things down. Big difference between the glory and the gloom. Amen? Somebody say, light excels darkness. Amen. Well, look at John chapter 8, verse 12 in your notes. Then Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. That would include me individually. That would include a nation. A nation. A family. A business. A church. Is it possible, church, that a church could walk in darkness? Now, that is spooky stuff right there. That's why you, as a believer individually, need to know your Bible. So that if someone gets up and teaches something that is error to the word, you know not to receive that. Amen? That's why there are doors on buildings, so we can leave if we have to go somewhere else. Amen? Praise the Lord. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Hallelujah. And I was going to share, and this is a portion of that message I was looking at this past yesterday too, but the glory that was manifested just with Jesus' birth is undeniable, right? In Psalm 104, God says he makes his angels flames of fire. Angels are manifestations of the glory of God, right? And just in Luke chapter 1, Matthew chapter 1, Luke 2, Matthew 2, there are multiple witness accounts of angels showing up to confirm the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. To Mary, to Joseph, right? To the shepherds. Hallelujah. And I believe that when the angels showed up, I believe Mary noticed there's something different about this being standing in front of me. Probably had something to do with light. Amen? When Joseph had the dream, he probably realized that was God telling me something. And he had sense enough, he was a sensitive enough man to know I need to act on this, to obey this. Because Joseph, everything looked gloomy. Right? This girl I'm supposed to marry is pregnant and she's telling me it's from God, right? Right. But yet I'm going to protect her. Man, bad things happened to girls back then who got pregnant out of wedlock. Amen? And God spoke to him in a dream by an angel and turned the gloom into the glory. Hallelujah. The shepherds out in the field, right? Watching their, doing their job. And all of a sudden, boom, the whole sky lights up. I mean, the glory. It's the light of God, right? Amen. And what did they say? Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. The wise men, Shelley talked about. What did they see in the sky? A bright, shining star. A manifestation of the glory. Lighting up the gloom. And instead of following the gloom, they followed the glory and they found the Prince of Glory. And they worshiped him and brought him gifts. You know the stories. Amen? So what are we doing? We're seeing the glory. The glory, the glory. So when Jesus says as an adult, I am the light of the world. Well, that probably sounded kind of arrogant to some of the religious leaders, right? To some of the gloomy leaders. I am the light of the world, right? If you follow me, you will not walk in darkness, but you'll have the light of life. Somebody say, I choose that. I choose that. Glory to God. That's why in our nation, if 72 million people voted for President Trump, who represents an awesome manifestation of God's power in our nation, right? If 70-some million people voted for him and others on the gloomy side tried to steal that, right? And be corrupt in their actions. Scriptures like this show us, hey, listen, if your nation chose me, I'm not talking about Donald Trump, I'm talking about righteousness, right? If your nation chose me, you will walk in the light of life. This will be corrected. This will be confronted. This will be judged righteously. Amen? Because 70 whatever million votes are seeds that produce a harvest. Amen. Somebody say, look up. Look up. Your redemption draws nigh, America. I was in prayer early this week. One morning I got up and I'm sitting there. Love sitting in front of our fireplace. We have one of those not real fire, but it looks like fire. How many know we got our eyes on the real glory with Jesus, right? But it's beautiful. It's a beautiful, you know, fire feature. And it's dark, and I'm sitting there in my little snuggie or whatever, my sweatshirt, my hood, and I'm praying. And I had this picture of a new birth happening, right? And I remembered Brother Copeland's prophecy that this will be a new birth for our nation this year. It's like the Lord said, I remember when one of our, I think it was when Lane was born. Maybe Lindsay, actually. It was Lindsay, I think. And man, she came quickly. Like Jesus, I mean, Shelly, that was the only normal birth experience of all of our kids, where Shelly wakes me up in the middle of the night, honey, it's time. And we went, and man, this was within a couple hours, I think. We had Lindsay. You had Lindsay. I had something to do. Let's not get into that. But I remember the doctor, and she was a wonderful doctor, and she used this term, birth is imminent at this point. In other words, it's happening right now. Amen. For one of them, it might have been her. She was like, give me gloves. Okay, forget the gloves. Here we go. We're good. Baby. I tell you this, the rebirth, the Lord showed me this again this week. The rebirth of this nation is imminent at this point. All we do is stand in faith, lift our hands and say, thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. And Lord, we right now as a church, we thank you, God. This is a huge day for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tomorrow, Lord, as the Electoral College meets, that you will give them wisdom, God, and discernment, Lord, that you will move on behalf of the United States of America as the Supreme Court makes a just and righteous decision regarding states like Texas that are suing states like Pennsylvania and Arizona or whatever, the states that had the corruption. Amen. That there is righteous judgments coming forth out of this nation this week because we are a nation, one nation under God. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Interesting thing I heard, just on a side note with that, and we're believing God, right? Mr. Biden, every other state besides the battleground states, he did worse than Hillary did. In every state, except those battleground states. Amen. Somebody say, something's about to happen. Be expecting it. In this week of miracles. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God forevermore. And then look at this. This is one of my favorite verses of all time today for this message. John 1 verse 5 in the Passion Translation. And it says this. By the way, John chapter 1 is a great... all of these, the entire chapters are wonderful, but It says this, and this living expression, and living expression is capitalized, talking about Jesus. And this living expression is the light that bursts through the gloom. Don't you love that? The Passion Translation of the Bible. And this living expression is the light that bursts through the gloom. The light that the darkness could not diminish. Somebody say, oh yeah, that's the God I serve. That's the God I serve. Hallelujah. Whether it's in your personal life, in your family, at work, your ministry, your country, whatever it is, this is what we believe. This is what we say. This is what we speak. Amen? You can't stop Jesus. Hallelujah. Right? In fact, it reminds me, I have this book called the Shamash, which is Jewish commentary. And I just opened it up to, it just fell open to Genesis 39, talking about the life of Joseph. And I'm reading the commentary from the rabbis, talking about Joseph's life. And I should have brought it to read it to you, but it was so on spot on with what we're dealing with as a country. And it came down to, you know, Joseph was selected to be number two in charge of Egypt. And it said all the astrologers protested. Because who is a slave to rule over us? But Pharaoh said, no, no, no. This guy knows something we need done. He has a relationship with God that none of you all got. And not only did God use Joseph to save Israel, but he used Joseph to save the whole world. Egypt, you name it. And the point the rabbis came to, they said, you know what? When God wills something, he will change nature, he'll change politics, he'll do whatever he has to do to get his person. But the gloom is saying, it's over. We're going the way of gloom. Somebody say no. No. And we don't have to go burn stuff down and throw bottles and bricks to make a statement. We pray. Amen. We believe God. We vote. Hallelujah. Somebody say, my vote counted. And like the word God gave us about a month ago or whatever, he voted too. And his vote is the one they're going to see right up in their face this week. And I'll say this, it's the deciding vote. Somebody say, glory! Glory, 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 glory. And then 1 John, I got to wrap it up. 1 John 2, verse 8 says this. I love this. The darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. Now, that's a good reason. If anyone's listening to this message later, if you're on the dark side, you haven't made Jesus Lord of your life, you don't have to stay there. You weren't born to be on the dark side. You can change and be on the side of the light. Amen? Why would I want to do that? Well, because the darkness is passing away. What does death do? It dies. Amen, right? So you don't have to stay on the dark side. You can come on to the side of the light by just saying, Jesus, I receive you as Lord of my life. I confess, Lord, all my sin to you, and I receive you as my Savior. Wash me and cleanse me. I choose to live for you from now on. You know, one of the shortest salvation prayer ever prayed was by Saul of Tarsus. And he's on his horse going to persecute the church, arrest people, kill people, whatever. He's like, yeah, let's do this. Religious zeal, misguided. And he's going down the road to Damascus. And all of a sudden, boom! The light knocks him off his horse, and he hears the voice of Jesus. Saul, what are you doing? Jesus didn't come to kill him, but it was a decision time. Saul, guess what? This is the end of the road for you. You're not going to touch my church anymore. Why don't you go ahead and come over here? I'm paraphrasing. Why don't you go ahead and join me on this side, and let's see what we can do together. And he chose to do that. What did he say? Lord, who are you? I am Jesus. What did he experience? The glory. The glory. He was bringing the gloom to the church, and he was intercepted by the glory. Somebody say hallelujah. And the church was praying. See, we're not passive. We pray. We see God's word. We pray in the spirit. We keep coming. We keep showing up. And the glory takes over. Somebody say the glory just takes over. The glory just, it'll take over your house. Take over your workplace. Take over your nation. Somebody say, come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. And then finally, Matthew, I know we went a little over today. Matthew 5, verse 14 says this. Jesus tells us this. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Hallelujah. That's why the church needs to stay open. That's why the devil, the gloom, wants to close the church. One gal on the chat this morning at EMIC, one of the hostesses on the chat line, she said that her church in Vancouver, BC, the term she uses, we are banned until January 18th. Somebody say no. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. Devil, you're not going to ban the church. You're not going to bring the gloom over the house of God. We're just going to keep coming. We're going to keep believing. Now, we are respectful to our leaders. Just a final thought on that. You, Daniel and others, Stephen before he was stoned, they all demonstrated respect toward leadership, even though they didn't agree with them. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, getting ready to be thrown into the fiery furnace. And they say, O king, they weren't mocking him. King, sir, we will not worship your God. Sir. So whether you throw us into this fiery furnace or not, we're not going to worship your God because we worship the God. Sir. Amen. Glory to God forevermore. That's why in your church, we're wearing masks right now. We're doing the social distancing thing. There's even something coming in the mail that's going to, like a little plexiglass thing that'll sit here for Shelly so she doesn't have to wear a mask when she sings. We're doing what we got to do right now. But we are staying open and preaching God's word. Now, if they came in and said, we are banning the gospel, well, go ahead and lock me up, right? Amen. But you know why that isn't going to happen? Because the glory is greater than the gloom. You know why this COVID thing is going away? Because the glory is greater than the gloom. You know why the right people are going to be in office and the wrong people will be removed in this country? Because the glory is greater than the gloom. You know why it's getting better in your life? Getting better, better, and better, and brighter, and brighter, and because the glory is greater than the gloom. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and stand up on your feet. Let's thank the Lord for his words to us today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, that your glory is greater than the darkness. The light excels the darkness. The glory excels and expels the gloom, and we give you the praise for it. We praise you and we thank you. We praise you and we thank you. We praise you and we thank you, God, for the glory of God burning brightly in all of our lives. Supernatural, miraculous manifestations in all of our lives, God. Houses, relationships, jobs, ministries, education, callings, gifts and talents that we will use to glorify God, riches and wealth, churches, church buildings, properties acquired, miraculous healings, manifestations of the glory of God in all of our lives, God. We thank you for it in advance. In Jesus' name. I want to do what we've been doing the past few weeks. I want us to give three ha's at the devil. One, two, three. Ha, ha, ha. Now give God a great big shout. Say glory. Thank you, Jesus.